All right, we are live here with a Schloss rant late in the evening here. It is just after midnight, so I guess we're here Thursday morning, Wednesday night into Thursday morning, we could call it. And we're going to talk about the Yankees in this rant because I know they won 7-2 tonight, so the offense clearly starting, clearly doing what they're supposed to tonight. But when I was going through the rant, coming up with different things about this Yankees team, about the trade deadline that passed the other day, a lot of stuff that's annoying me. So maybe the rant doesn't fit in with the fact that the team won 7-2 tonight, but there's a lot going on. So if I give you any stats that I've prepared, if I give you any figures that I've prepared, just know they might not be exactly perfect. But the general theme is still there through the first, 108 games of the season so far. Yankees are hitting they're hitting 229 as a team. They are second to last behind the Oakland Athletics. And again, I know they scored 7 runs tonight, but this offense is absolutely anemic. They don't have a hitter who'd qualify for the batting title outside of Gleyber Torres, who's hitting 255. I mean, they don't have a single guy who could qualify for that batting title who's hitting above 255 besides Gleyber Torres. Judge doesn't qualify, obviously, due to the low number of at-bats due to all the injuries he's been out with. This team has a 703 OPS. That's just flat out bad, and it would be a lot worse, but the fact that they've hit so many home runs, they've hit the 6th most home runs in the major leagues. They've hit 146 of them coming into tonight. Coming into tonight, the Braves hit 203 of them. So it's not even like the Yankees are like totally leading the way in the majors and hitting home runs and hitting the ball out of the ballpark. This team is reliant upon the home runs, but they're not hitting them at the clip that the Atlanta Braves or some of these other teams like Texas are hitting them. And who's the biggest culprit for the most part? I think it's got to be Anthony Rizzo. In June and July, he hit 169. He somehow only slugged 227, 222 the last 2 months, or maybe that's his on-base percentage, whatever it is. It's pathetic. How is that even possible? This guy is normally a legit 30 home run threat every single year. You look at his baseball reference page, 162 game average. This guy averages 29 homers per 162 games. All of a sudden, he can't draw a walk. He can't get on base. He can't hit for any type of power. I saw this other crazy stat about Rizzo that his worst 50-game stretch that he's had with the Yankees, he had an OPS of 520 on base plus slugging, of course. Joey Gallo, who we all hated, and rightfully so because he stunk, he had a 545 OPS for his worst 50-game stretch. So somehow Rizzo was worse than Joey Gallo. That's hard to imagine. Not over 10 games, not over 15, but over 50 games. Somehow, Rizzo was worse if you look at just purely the OPS metric. And again, I know the Yankees won tonight, but this team is still in last place, albeit a game behind the Red Sox, where they're 57-51, but the Yankees are 56-52. This team has not been in last place this late in the season since the early 90s. So they are totally underachieving. Doesn't make any sense to me, though, what went on with the trade deadline. I've mentioned the ineptitude of Rizzo. We could talk more about LeMahieu. We can talk more about Stanton because they're all part of the problem. We'll talk about Donaldson, the fact that his contract's on their books, even though he's been injured a lot. But the fact that Brian Cashman didn't even think to try and add a bat, and I know that these big-time impactful bats or not out there. There was no David Justice coming through at a trade deadline move. There was no Yoenis Cespedes like the Mets did back in 2015 to boost them into a World Series. There was no impact power bat to be had. But to do absolutely nothing in terms of offense when you're hitting 229, it's not good. Don't tell me if you're Brian Cashman, if you're Aaron Boone, if you're whoever else, Lon Trost, don't tell me that you're competing for championships when you got a team that's hitting 229 and you don't even bother to bring in any type of hitters to help the team out. And honestly, just to go along with what those guys have been saying, specifically Boone and Cashman, they keep feeding you the nonsense that this team is so close, they have great at-bats. Sunday night, they struck out 18 times. 18 times. So don't give me this about good at-bats. And I know that analytics and metrics say it's not as bad to strike out as it once was thought to be. But come on, they struck out 18 times. Didn't even make the other team earn it. I mean, if you're a baseball fan, one of the things you like about baseball is that it's not relying on a clock. And I know that they have a pitch clock now, but you got to earn your outs. They, 18 out of the 27 times that game, they just turned around and said, here, have it. I mean, hitting 229 and hitting the ball out of the ballpark for your only runs, unless you're going to go hit 350 home runs or something for a season, which they're not, obviously, it's not a way to win. You need to put the bat on the ball. You got to make something happen. Can't just sit back every game and try to hit a two-run homer and a solo shot and hope that be enough. This Yankee team, though, I mentioned this a couple podcasts ago, the one phrase that I would describe them is with meh. Everything about them is meh. Are they the worst team in baseball? No. Could they be like the Mets and be under 500? Yes. But this team is just in a, and this is a new term, a malaise of mediocrity. Okay, I know that they're not horrible. I understand they sit at 56 and 52. Is that where you want to be? No, but they're 3.5 games out of a playoff spot. So it's not like it's a total disaster, but it's just unwatchable. It's uninspiring. I'm going to turn on the TV to watch these guys strike out 10, 12, 15, 18 times in a game? I guess 10 would probably even be kind of low, but 15 or 18 times in a game, I don't think so. And the malaise of mediocrity is really led by guys like LeMahieu, who I mentioned, Rizzo, who I definitely just mentioned, and Stanton. And the three of them are making about $70 million collectively for the year, and they don't produce. And it's not even like I can kill the GM for those moves in particular, because I was celebrating December of 2017 when the Yankees brought in Stanton. I was tweeting out the picture of the New York Daily News with Sanchez, Judge, and Stanton all on the cover for the modern-day Bronx Bombers. So I can't kill that move. Rizzo, when they traded for him a couple years ago, and then when they re-signed him, I thought that was a brilliant move. I said, this is the exact guy to bring to the Yankees. He's got power. He plays a good glove over there at first base, left-handed. What could you not love? And then LeMahieu, 2019 and 2020, the shortened season, of course, I thought he was one of the best right-handed hitters in baseball. So not that long ago, but he's just not as good as he was. He's fallen off an absolute cliff. This is a guy who's won a batting title in both leagues. Again, I know one of it was 2020 in the shortened season. But there was a time not so long ago, if you said that there could be one Yankee up in any spot, including Aaron Judge, by the way, I would have said, give me DJ LeMahieu every single time, because he's going to give you a competitive at bat, put the bat on the ball, but he's just not doing it. He's not the same guy. He's got an on-base percentage of less than 300. This was one of the best pure right-handed hitters. I didn't say power hitters, but he hit 26 home runs in his best year with the Yanks in 2019. You can't have these guys in the lineup, taking up space, doing absolutely nothing, and they're going nowhere near the numbers on the back of their baseball card. Now, the biggest issue, though, here is that you're wasting the prime of two of the best players in baseball, Gerrit Cole, from the pitching side and Aaron Judge. You're absolutely wasting it. These two are the only two guys on the team who are doing anything. And it's not like, they're okay. No, they're unbelievable. They are unbelievable, but there's not enough Aaron Judges and Garrett Coles to go around. Like I mentioned earlier, or I tried to mention earlier, Judge, he doesn't have enough at-bats to qualify for the batting average title. So therefore, he doesn't qualify for the OPS title. But he's got an OPS nearly 1,100, 1,089 coming into tonight. That's 100 points above the guy in third place in Freddie Freeman. And it's 7 points ahead of Ohtani, who, of course, is doing ungodly things. Forget about the pitching, but even with the amount of home runs he's hitting. The other night in one of the games, Judge drew 3 free passes. If I was the other teams, there's no shot that I'm pitching to the guy. And again, this rant doesn't work as well with the Yankees scoring 7 runs tonight. But there'd be no chance that I would pitch to this guy. Give him a free pass. Let LeMahieu beat you. Let Stanton beat you. Let Rizzo beat you. Because more than likely, based on what they're doing this year, they're not going to beat you. When you talk about Garrett Cole, he's got a 2.64 ERA. He's 12th in fielding independent pitching, a.k.a. FIP, in Major League Baseball. The 2.64 ERA leads the American League. So whether it's a new metric, an old metric, no matter which way you look at it, Cole is pitching really well. Does he make a lot of money? Yeah, he does. At $36 million a year annual average, I get it. It's a lot, but it's a bargain compared to what the Mets/Rangers and the Mets/Astros are paying Scherzer and Verlander at about $43 million. If you want an elite ace and you're not going to develop him and he's not going to be under your team control when he's pitching like an elite ace, you have to pay up. And this was something that I talked about years ago when the Diamondbacks brought in Zach Greinke. Was he the best pitcher? No. Did he throw the hardest? No. But did he give you competitive starts? Of course. You know, it's like if you're buying maybe one of the worst, not necessarily the worst, but it's just an okay house in Malibu, an okay house in Palm Beach, Florida, an okay townhouse in Manhattan. You're going to pay a lot, even though on the surface it might not be that great, but you need it. And they're just such rare commodities, and that's what Garrett Cole is. So, especially, again, when you look at what Scherzer and Verlander are getting. And to touch back on Verlander, the Astros added Justin Verlander. It was either August 30th or August 31st of 2017 when they added him the first time, I should say. Not this most recent time, 24 hours ago or 30 hours ago, whatever it was. This was really, and I don't think this is talked about enough, this was a turning point in the Yankees and Astros dynamic because the Yankees, they were in on him. They wanted to bring him in, and ever since they passed on that, and that, of course, occurred during the old waivers trade deadline prior to September 1st. I guess it would have been August 31st. Astros have had 4 pennants and 2 World Series titles, and all the Yankees can do is complain about 2017, how they got cheated by the Astros. And the Astros cheated. It's been outed. It's been admitted. We all get it. You want to talk about 2019. Was Altuve wearing a buzzer? Was it strange with the whole jersey as he's rounding the bases, as Chapman could do nothing but smirking? Yeah, of course. But really the moment where it all went wrong is when the Yankees didn't add Verlander then because they've been cursed. And the Astros have gone on to be pretty much the best organization in baseball. I know the Dodgers are good every year. The Braves are good every year, too. But over that short of a period to have 4 pennants and 2 World Series total, so 2 pennants in addition to the 2 World Series, if you want to look at it that way, that's really, I mean, that was the moment where the Yankees passed on Verlander. Because it's not necessarily even that they needed another pitcher, but, I mean, if you think back to Game 7 of that series in 2017, Sabathia started it, and he only went like 2 innings. So I guess they could have used another pitcher. Biggest issue for the Yanks that year was that their offense wasn't going, but the fact that the Astros were able to get Verlander and he was able to get them into all these World Series, that was a pivotal moment. And if you think about it, where you were, if you're a Yankee fan, when the Astros beat him in Game 7 of 2017, this is, of course, still with Girardi as the manager. My mindset was that they won 90 games. They missed the playoffs in 16. They missed the playoffs in 13 and 14. I was happy to be there. I figured, all right, we got all these young guys. We got Judge. We got Stanton. We had Kleber Torres coming up in the mix. We had what we thought Clint Frazier. You know, if you think about the big 2016 when the Yankees were sellers with all the relievers, Chapman and Andrew Miller, I figured, all right, this team is going to be locked and loaded, ready to go. You had Severino. And, I mean, they've all been busts except for Judge. Frazier might as well be out of baseball. Greg Bird, another one, he might as well be out of baseball. I have no idea where he is. Sanchez has been on, like, what, three teams this year? I mean, just ridiculous. I mean, Judge is a stud, no doubt. Judge is a Hall of Fame-level player. Biggest issue is that he runs into walls. He gets hit by pitches even at times. But the Baby Bombers, they've been a disappointment. I mean, most of them are out of baseball. What can we say? So you're wasting the prime, though, of Gerrit Cole. You're wasting the prime of Aaron Judge. Other things that I want to criticize Cashman about, and I've said this before, passing on Manny Machado to then a couple of years later bring in Josh Donaldson at a similar contract annual value is just absolutely ridiculous. I think Machado's original pact, and I know he re-upped with San Diego, was I think it was 10 years and $300 million, somewhere in that nature. Maybe it was longer. Maybe it was 12 years, $300 million. Not out of control. Even if it was 10 years for $300, you're talking about a $5 million a year difference. Is that a lot of money? Of course it is. But this is professional sports we're talking about. This is the New York Yankees, the number one brand in all of professional sports. You know, like, bring in Machado. I'm not saying Machado is the best player in baseball, but he's better than what they got now. And also, I understand you had Stanton. I understand you were paying big bucks for him. Passing on Bryce Harper was just ridiculous, too. A lefty swing for Yankee Stadium. I mean, he would have been unbelievable with the Yankees. And I know he has trouble staying on the field, too. And I think Harper's gone from, like, overrated to underrated to overrated. And I think he's underrated now. I mean, this is the guy who gets on base nearly a 40% clip. He'd be great to have in the lineup right now, too, because this lineup is just devoid of talent. And the thing is, though, about Cashman and some of these moves that he's made is that he has no one holding him accountable. No one holding him accountable because he's buddy-buddy with the owner. Therefore, Boone does exactly what Cashman says. Not that I think the manager makes that much of a difference in baseball, but I think that we could see someone else in there, someone who's going to light a fire under this team. And a quote that I saw from an account on Twitter from someone named Yankee Source, they said, ownership has no accountability, the front office has no accountability, analytics has no accountability, managers have no accountability, players have no accountability. The fans are the only ones holding this franchise accountable for their actions, and the only way they can express it is vocally or on social media. I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Cashman has not done a good job of getting the right players in there, whether it be from a minor league into the major league level. I already mentioned that all the Baby Bombers really did not work out at all, except for Judge. Horrible deals bringing in Donaldson. Horrible deals last year with IKF at shortstop. Not really having a real major league shortstop this year. Volpe with all the errors. I understand he runs the bases, he steals bases, and he has a nice amount of pop for such a young shortstop. But I got to tell you, I've seen guys like this, Volpe, guys who have some power, some speed, who don't really take a lot of walks, who aren't really on, you know, have a proclivity to getting on base. I don't think they have long-lasting careers. I understand it's boring to watch guys take ball four, but I think it's valuable too. I think they stay in the league longer. I don't think Derek Jeter, I can pop it up right now, I don't think Derek Jeter had a low on-base percentage in his rookie year. I mean, I'm going to pull it up right now compared to Volpe just to see. Let's see. We got Jeter over here and Jeter in his rookie year. We won't count 95. We'll go to 96. Yeah, he had a 370 on-base percentage his rookie year. So, I mean, like, compared to Volpe, that's just ridiculous. I think you got to have guys that are confident to take pitches and hit for an average, too. I mean, Jeter hit for 311. I know batting average is not everything. Or he hit for 314, excuse me, as a rookie. So, and I know Jeter's a Hall of Fame player. Volpe probably isn't. He probably won't ever be. Right now, obviously, he isn't. But he might not have it in him to do it. I mean, but again, no one's holding the GM accountable. The manager can stay. He tries to, you know, rile up his players and support them. He's always getting ejected. I can appreciate that. But there's no accountability for anyone. And honestly, the way that the fans can show it, outside of, you know, doing it vocally in the stadium or on social media, point blank, is just not going to the games. Honestly, I've got Yankees right now, they're in this malaise of mediocrity, like I said. They make the playoffs. Yeah, I'm going to be into it. I'm not a fraud in the fact that, like, I'll admit it, I'm all about postseason baseball, not necessarily all the time, inning for inning, pitch for pitch, with regular season baseball like I used to. But I got three other teams that I root for in pro sports, all in the New York, New Jersey area, right? Devils, Knicks, they both won rounds in the playoffs last year. The Knicks were the laughing stock of professional sports. Even they won a round in the playoffs. Devils had not won a playoff series in 11 years, and they won this year. Even the Giants, who hadn't won a playoff game in 11 years, they won a playoff game. So if you're the Yankees, you're trending in the absolute wrong direction. And I know most people aren't Devil fans. They're Ranger fans or Islander fans. But you get the idea. The Knicks are pretty much everyone's team if you come from New York. And they're all trending in the right way. It's competitive. And our eyes, more than ever, we're distracted. We want to look at our phone. We want to watch Instagram reels. We want to watch YouTube videos. We want to go try new things. And, you know, going to the Yankee game, watching the Yankees, it's just not a priority because this malaise of mediocrity. No one thinks that even if they make the playoffs, they're going to do anything. They're wasting the prime of Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge's career. So, I mean, I've said this before, I've got no reason to go to Yankee Stadium. I went to one game earlier this year in Baltimore. It's insane getting in there, getting over that G-dub. And I understand I'm coming from far away. I'm coming from outside of Philadelphia, 2 hours away. But, like, I go to Giant. I went to two Giant games this year. Went to a Devil game this year. It's not like those are that much closer. They're in New Jersey. I don't have to cross over the G-dub. But, I mean, come on. If the Yankees were good, I'd say, honey, let's go to the games. But I got no interest. And even the stadium, I don't like the stadium. Honestly, I thought I did when it was first open. I'd rather be back in that old place. It had character. It was loud. So when I got options for all these different baseball teams, I could go to the Phillies right here. I could even go the other way, go south to Camden Yards, like I mentioned. I could go to Citi Field. Now, I'm not going to do any of these, but I think Camden Yards and Citi Field, I bring up those because I think those are better stadiums. So just one little last rip of the Yankees. They make the playoffs again. They're not going to do anything. So it's hard for me to buy in, hard for me to get in. All right, Schlossrant live from outside of Philadelphia, the Philadelphia suburbs here. Maybe the Yankees turn it around. They're 3.5 games out of that last wild card spot. And again, I'll be into it if they make the playoffs, despite spending the last 24 minutes or so destroying them. But I'll be into it if they somehow make the playoffs. All right, Schlossrant. We'll see you later, everyone.